Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior and Lord. Amen. I got to spend yesterday morning with a few really smart, really fun, really energetic young people teaching a First Communion class. And it's one of the joys of being a pastor to explain what that sacrament means and to share with them earlier the first time that they received the body and blood of Christ. We spent a lot of time talking about what the meal means, and we talked about how it's a sign of God's love, a sign of God's forgiveness, a remembrance of what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection mean to us. It's a meal that strengthens us for service. It's a promise and a foretaste of the feast to come. It's a gathering of the community of saints. But at its heart, Holy Communion is all about what the word communion means, and that's sharing. And the lesson from 1 Corinthians is all about not sharing. In the early church, they met in houses, usually the houses of the most powerful, the most wealthy people. And they would meet on Sunday afternoons for an agape feast, for a love meal. It's a potluck. And at the end of the meal, they would have a worship service. And so they would incorporate having Holy Communion, this breaking and sharing of the bread and the wine, as part of their meal. But the problem was, they did this on Sundays, and for the early church, Sunday was a work day. It wasn't until later that Sunday became a Sabbath, a day of rest. And so they would do this in the late afternoon. This would be the evening meal. And for the wealthy, for the rich, the powerful, well, they'd go whenever they wanted to, because who's going to tell the boss he's got to put in a full day? And so they would get there and they would gather and they would begin to celebrate. But when the regular people, when the working people, when the poor would come, they would find the food's already been eaten and the wine's already been consumed. That's what Paul was complaining about. One goes hungry and another becomes drunk. Do you not have homes to eat or drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? In this community meal, people didn't share. They didn't take care of one another. They shared a meal in name only. They took care of themselves and shared nothing with others. And so it's no surprise that Paul condemned them. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. He's condemning their selfishness. He's condemning their lack of concern for others. Unfortunately, some Christian traditions take that condemnation that's in verses 27 to 29 and they apply it all on its own without looking at the context from whence it came. They use those verses about eating the body and blood in an unworthy manner to restrict who can receive communion in their churches. Because the only ones that they believe who are worthy are those who are members of their church and their tradition. And so they won't share communion with others as an act of hospitality. Because as Paul writes, for all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment on themselves. So since they believe that they understand it correctly and everyone else does not, by not letting you receive the body and blood, they're actually doing what they consider to be nice and hospitable. Our branch of the Lutheran tradition believes that all are welcomed at Christ's table. From the very beginning, this was a meal for an unlikely group of people. The Lord's Last Supper, celebrating the Passover meal, was with his 12 disciples who were all there for the whole meal. All 12 were there. Judas, who would betray him, received the bread and wine. Peter, who would deny him, received the bread and wine. The other 10 who ran away and hid while Jesus suffered and died received the bread and wine. As he did at any table that he was at, Jesus declared, "All are welcome." Martin Luther believed that there's only one discernment that has to be made to be worthy to receive this holy meal. In the Small Catechism, he writes, "Who then receives the sacrament worthily? Fasting and bodily preparation are in fact a fine external discipline, but a person who has faith in these words, 'Given for you and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin,' is really worthy and well prepared. However, a person who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, because the words 'for you' require truly believing hearts." What is needed when we examine ourselves, as Paul tells us to do, is to ask if we believe that Christ's body and blood are given for us. I remember the first time that I helped to distribute communion. It was at my home church back in Saginaw, St. John Lutheran, and I had just come back to the church, and I had asked Pastor Paulette how I could be helpful. And she signed me up to be a communion assistant, which meant that I held a tray of pre-filled glasses, and as people came by, I would tell them that this is the blood of Christ shed for you. It was about halfway through communion when I started to realize what I was saying. I started to realize that this little bit of wine is the blood of the Son of God, shed when he went willingly to the cross, going there to suffer so that our sins would be forgiven, and to die so that we would be raised and death would be defeated. And he did that for you. And he did that for everyone who took the cup. And then I realized that meant me too. It was at that point that I realized that Jesus cared about me. Before, it had all been the abstract, that Jesus died to forgive our sins. But it was there sometime between the 20th and 30th person that I said, "This is the blood of Christ shed for you," that I realized that this is the blood of Christ shed for me. And that's when it became real. And so then, unfortunately, for those people who sat at the back of the sanctuary who had to come up on the lectern side, they received the wine being given to them by a big, blubbery guy because I started to cry. Because I realized that the blood of Christ was shed for me. And the body of Christ was broken on my behalf. To be worthy to receive this unmerited gift of grace and love, we only have to believe. We only have to believe that the words given for you and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin show us that the forgiveness of sin, life, death, and salvation are given to us in the sacrament through these words, because where there is the forgiveness of sin, there is also life and salvation. We're not worthy to receive God's grace, but we're made worthy by the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. Jesus welcomes everyone to the table, saint and sinner alike, because at the table, they all receive God's grace. But the challenge is, do we believe it? And do our actions show it? I was at a conference a few weeks ago, and the speaker challenged pastors, saying, do your sermons say what the shared cup proclaims? Is what you are preaching, does it match up with the forgiveness given freely as we say in communion? And it made me re-examine my preaching, and it's made me make sure to include that Christ's death was for us, so our sins are forgiven and death is defeated. But I want to turn that question to you. Do your lives reflect what the shared cup proclaims? Does your life reflect the radical hospitality shown at the Last Supper? At Christ's table, we all come as beggars, deserving nothing but receiving everything. All are invited and all are welcomed at Christ's table because we are all children of God, made in the image of God. But are we willing to accept the people who we share Christ's table with at our table? Would everyone be welcomed at your table? Does everybody receive the same gift of grace? Do you believe that everybody is worthy of receiving God's forgiveness? If the answer is no, then I suggest, as Paul and Luther suggest, that you examine yourself and think of what the body and blood of Christ truly mean and what it means for you. We are called to serve. We're called to serve, to live lives of service because we have been saved. We are called to live lives where we give because we have been forgiven. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. And at the table of Jesus Christ, His love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness are given for all. At His table, Christ shares love with us. and asks us to share it with others. Amen.